this time of the year always, it always just draws my attention back to the perfect gift that Jesus, I mean, is indeed the perfect gift. You know, that's sometimes growing up, we got gifts that we didn't like as much as others. You know, I can remember when I was opening my gifts and we'd get to one and it would be socks and how disappointing that was. Socks. Who gives me socks for, you know, what are you doing? But really, as you get older, you find out that, like, at the time, those weren't as valued as they might be when you get older, because you recognize that the best gifts really aren't the thing that maybe has all the bells and whistles. It's just the thing that you needed the most at the time, right? That's always a better gift. And so this season reminds me of that, because it's a season of hope. This time of year should help us to remember that we have a hope. I think sometimes people get the wrong idea about hope because in the world we've used the word so flippantly, and we use it to mean wish when that's not what the Bible means when it says hope. We say here all the time, you know, our motto is that we bring hope, help, and healing to the world. And we don't mean that we bring good wishes to people. A confident expectation is what we bring to people, that whatever is going on in your life, it can be better with Jesus in it. That's the kind of hope that we bring to people. That's why for me, that, you know, that's more than just a mission statement or some slogan. When we say that we bring hope, help, and healing to the world, that hope that we bring is when people during this season, the number of people that I've already come in contact with that seem hopeless, that they don't have any expectation that their lives could be any better. I want to encourage you as Rhema Bible Church members, if you haven't been to the Rhema Lights yet, I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe even this evening. I know it's cold out there, but they serve hot drinks. But if you've been there and you only did it to enjoy the lights, that's one way to go through there. And it's a great way to go, you know, get on the train and eat some. They got popcorn over there. They've got cocoa and things like that. Do that. But what if you went there backed by purpose to take hope to people? Walk around and just be an encouragement to folks, because we have so many people that come on our campus during this time of year that don't know the hope that we have. Don't have that confident expectation. What if you went over there and just in line, you were the smile they needed right in the middle of their hopelessness? You were the one that put cocoa in their hand in the name of the Lord. Just, I want to be a blessing to you. I just want to do something to be an encouragement to you. What if you paid for them to ride the train and maybe they came with kids and they didn't know if they were going to be able to afford it? They're looking at their mama and their daddy and they're saying, I want to ride it, but maybe they didn't have the extra money to do it and all they could do was just come for the lights. But all of a sudden, you, a spirit-filled man or woman of God with the love of God on the inside of you, all of a sudden you roll up and you're like, you know what? I want to pay for you to ride that. I want to get you and your kids some hot chocolate. I want to do something to be a blessing for you. What if we did that when we went over there? Don't just think that those lights, don't get so numb to those lights being out there that we forget that the reason that we do it is because we believe that Jesus is the light of the world, and it's a marked presence in this community. I remember I was at St. John's BA, it's been a number of months ago, and the face shield, before we had gotten it fixed, sometimes people think, well, you know, why do you have that big sign up there? Because it brings hope or encouragement to people. But this nurse at the hospital over there at St. John's BA, they can see the top of our church from there. And she said to me, she said, the times where there was something difficult that was going on here at work, and I could come to these big bay windows and I could look out there and I could see that big faith shield. And she said what an encouragement it was to her. This place is a beacon of hope for people. Amen? Praise the Lord. That was all free. What time is it? But we better hurry. So tonight I want to talk to you about a confident expectation, staying anchored to hope. You know, anchors are used by ships and boats to help steady them in a particular location or a particular spot. I got anchored one time. I was in Arkansas. I go trout fishing over in Arkansas, and I had taken my kayak with me, and I had purchased one of those rare earth magnets so I could do some magnet fishing. Anybody know what that is? Magnet fishing? Basically, you can buy these big magnets. Like, you buy them on Amazon and stuff, and the pull weight on them will be like 750 pounds or something. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go and I'm just going to see what kind of stuff you can find on the bottom. And I was doing it from the shoreline, and I was throwing it out, and I would pull it across, and, you know, you maybe come up with like a pocket knife that somebody had dropped, or, you know, some kind of treasure under the water. I think I found an old pair of sunglasses that weren't really worth having. I found a fishing stringer that was metal, found some other things. I got the bright idea with this 750-pound pull magnet that I was going to use it while I was kayaking down the river. And I got in a 20-foot spot. It was about 20 foot deep, maybe, you know, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. But I was just dragging it as I was going along. And I hooked into something metal down there. I don't know what it was to this day. But I noticed that I just kept losing line and kept losing line. I had it tied to my kayak. And all of a sudden, I was at the end of it, and it started pulling my kayak in. You talk about a man working real fast to untie a knot. Because I was anchored to something that was not allowing me to move anymore. But really, that's the purpose of an anchor. It's so that we, in the right places, we can anchor ourselves to something and hold on, to get into a position where we can stay steadfast. Amen? The writer of Hebrews calls hope an anchor for our souls. And people, you know, sometimes when you start talking about, especially when you talk to faith people about, you know, because we all understand this, that faith is now. Amen? Faith is now. And just so we're clear as we're going along, I want you to understand, I believe that totally. You know, that's Bible. Faith is now. But there are some things that we have to wait for. Now, you don't have to wait for things that Jesus paid for on our behalf. Healing, we don't have to wait for that. You know, Jesus isn't going to the cross and doing that right when you need healing. Healing already belongs to us. Salvation, nobody has to wait for salvation. It already belongs to us, right? You don't have, you know, nobody, Jesus paid the price for us to be saved. And now, you know, well, when the timing is right, then I'll get saved. He'll let me get saved. And now I got to wait until it ripens. Not that. But there are some things, how many of you know, we can look in the scripture. Otherwise, the scripture says this, through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. There are some things that you, why would you say, you got to ask yourself that question sometimes when you're reading the Bible. Why would the scripture say, that patience is necessary if it's not necessary? What does patience mean? That means, you know, for a world filled with people who tap their foot at the microwave when they're waiting on their popcorn. You ever do that? You're like, why is this popcorn taking so long? It's really 3 minutes. And if you've ever made old style popcorn, 3 minutes ain't so bad. You know, but when we're hungry, we get impatient. But there are some things that God makes a promise to us, has said some things, that there may be some time that's involved. I've told y'all the story about making somebody wait, not deliberately, but, you know, it's better that I tell off on me than it is that I tell off on you, right? If I knew your stories and I told them, you might not like it so much. But so we were students here, and some of you have heard me tell this story, that the Lord laid it on our hearts. Back then, we had, when we came here, lots of the Rhema students were young marrieds like we were. We all had kids. And this place, running around here, we had three kids at the time. And it was like a track, literally. I mean, to get around, you got three babies and a diaper bag and Bibles and all these things that you got to carry. And we had one of those strollers that you could take it out of your car and you could pop it out and you could put it onto the wheels and you could push it everywhere. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're even fancier than that now. I saw somebody come in the other day and that thing looked like a transformer. It just kind of, I don't know, it was amazing. Well, we had one of those. Lots of people had those, but we knew some people that were here and they did not have one. And watching them lug around their babies in their car seats, carrying their Bibles and all that stuff, the Lord laid it on our hearts to buy them a stroller like the one that we had. We didn't have a lot of extra money or anything at the time. We had lots more month than we had money a lot of times. Anybody ever been there? And we had some extra money at the time, and the Lord laid it on our hearts. And I'm sure that I probably did something goofy with it. You know, I spent it somehow and did not buy that stroller when the Lord had prompted me to do that. And then I had to watch them for weeks carrying that diaper bag and carrying all that stuff. And I felt like an absolute heel. I felt terrible about it. I repented. I said, God, if you'll bring that money back, I won't make that same mistake a second time. I'll go get that. I'll make it right. The Lord did bring the money in. I ran quick as I could and bought them one. And I can remember distinctly coming to school that after that weekend, because I went and got it on Sunday before I ushered. I was Sunday night ushering, and I drove to a Big Lots out in the middle of nowhere where I found one I could afford, and came back into town. Ushered, didn't see him, knew I wouldn't see him till Monday. So Monday at school, I asked him if he could meet me after class. And so he said, yeah, I'll meet you. And I asked him to meet me at my car. We went out to my car. And when I opened the door, I said, brother, I said, the Lord laid this on our heart that we wanted to get you this. And by the time I got it out of the car and turned around with it, this guy's crying. And he goes, man, he goes, about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, something like that, he said, and he said his wife's name, he said, she told me, we've got to get one of those. This is too much, carrying all of this stuff. And he said, well, if we're going to get one, we're going to have to believe God for it because it's just not in the budget. And he said, so we prayed and we released our faith and here it is. And I was like, oh, man. I had to admit to the brother, I said, well, 4 or 5 weeks ago, the Lord laid it on my heart to get it for you, and he didn't keep you waiting. I did. And I apologize for that. Thank God we made it right. But I say that to say this, there are some times where hope or a confident expectation is necessary because there are some things that though you're in faith believing, he and his wife were believing, but they hadn't received it yet. And I had a part to play in that, right? So there are times where just because you're believing for something doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting it right now. My faith is right now. I believe that the moment that I stood on God's word, that I released my faith, I believe it now. And that doesn't change just because I hadn't seen it yet. Amen? This scripture in Hebrews 6, beginning with verse 12, says this. It says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. Verse 13 says, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I'll multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently and received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have a great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Notice he said that it's an anchor for your soul. Hope is not the anchor for your spirit. Faith, we believe with our heart. Hope is an anchor for our spirit, soul, for our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Faith, we believe with our heart. Our soul requires confident expectation that what it is that we believed is coming to pass. And just because I haven't seen it yet is no indication that it's not on the way. Isn't that right? It's the thing that when I plant seeds in my garden, I give them what's necessary to grow. It's the thing that keeps me going out there. It's the thing that gets me to buy freezer bags so that I can put the stuff away. The hope is the confident expectation that the seed, if the seed has life in it, then the thing that's been planted, well, it's as good as now. It's mine. Just because I'm not eating squash yet doesn't mean that the squash isn't being produced. Right? I released my faith in the seed the moment that it was planted, but now hope is the confident expectation that in my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions that keeps me anchored to the thing that I'm believing for. Just because I haven't seen it in the natural yet is no indication. You know, sometimes I think we might have more faith and hope in Amazon than we do in the Word of the Lord. We make our purchase, we put our credit card in, we order our stuff, and we go to the mailbox or we check our email every day. Why? Because we confidently expect that that thing, if Amazon's word is good, that thing that I paid for, I did what was necessary in order to make the contact, the thing that I've purchased, it belongs to me, it's as good as mine. And so therefore my hope, my confident expectation keeps me going to the mailbox every day just looking to see if it's arrived yet. It's mine already. Amen. But this issue of having hope, this confident expectation, we have to keep ourselves in a position where just because we haven't seen something yet is no indicator that something isn't already happening. We released our faith now because God's word said it. Now. Now. It's mine. But just because I haven't seen it yet doesn't mean that changes. Amen? Hope holds us steady. Hope holds us steady in the in-between time. From when we released our faith and we believe until we see the manifestation of whatever that thing is, our confident expectation, our hope, is the anchor that holds us steady. In the book of Luke, there's a wonderful story of hope in God's promise. Just the same as Abraham believed and expected God's promise, we see this story of Simeon in Luke 2. In Luke 2, beginning with verse 25, I'm reading from the NLT, it says this: all that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you've promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people." He's a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Waiting on the fulfillment of God's promise can be difficult. But Simeon had a promise from God that he wouldn't die. What is this? You know, faith believes that what God said is true, and hope keeps you getting up every morning, even though you're old and it hadn't come yet, saying that God made me a promise, and therefore I know I'm living another day. Therefore, I'm going another day because God made me a promise. He already told me this, and so it's as good as mine. There's going to come a day when I'm going to look up and he's going to say, "Now is the time that you'll receive that thing that I told you." And sure enough, he goes down. The Holy Spirit leads him down there and he holds the baby and he said, "My eyes have seen my salvation." The thing that he'd been waiting for. But that hope, that confident expectation, this confident expectation that it talks about here, it says he was eagerly waiting, is the same word that's used in Titus 2:13 where it says looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior Jesus. It's that same confident expectation that you and I know this. The exciting thing for me, man, the reason that I don't sorrow like those who have no hope is because when my dad went home to be with the Lord, when my grandma went home to be with the Lord, I didn't lose them. You know, you ever gone somewhere and you lost your kid? You go to Walmart and you're like, I mean, I never lost my kids. But one time, Sarah, no, I'm just kidding. Girl, I'm just playing. I didn't lose my dad. You know, some people say, well, we just lost my dad. We just lost my dad. I didn't lose them. I know where they're at. Right? They've just changed addresses. They went to heaven. It's a real place. Oh, come on. I said it's a real place. It's like Kentucky. It's like Paducah, Kentucky. Just nicer. Right? It's a real place. That's where my parents, my grandparents, that's where my dad, my parent is. That's where, you know, I've got loved ones that are there, but I don't sorrow like people that don't have any hope because I'm going to see them again. Right? And if the Lord tarries his coming and I go by the way of the grave, I die just one time and then I go and I see them. If the Lord doesn't tarry and he comes back, I'm expecting that at any moment, his appearing, at any moment, it's what keeps me diligent to tell other people about Jesus. It's what keeps me going every day that we got a work to do. It's what keeps us training students over here. It's what keeps us coming to church and building ourselves up. We confidently expect that there's going to come a day where the last person that can be saved will be saved, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. And even if I don't die, if I die, no matter what it is, the future is exactly the same, and I confidently expect that I'll see those people again. Amen? It's the thing that kept Simeon coming every morning, believing God, knowing that he'd been made a promise, you won't die until you see your salvation. Even though nobody likes to wait, while we're waiting, we have to believe and expect that those things that God promised, they're coming to pass, not because I see it, not because I feel it, but because God said it. I thought this was interesting. I was reading recently in Brother Hagin's book, Classic Sermons. It's a bunch of his sermons. And there's one in there, Our Words Dominate Our Lives. And it says this. He says, and this was the statement that I'd heard him say it before. But he said, I've said this for years, and I'm going to keep on saying it. Faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. But he says, There is a growth to faith. However, what a person is believing for, the words he speaks after he has prayed can determine whether or not he receives his answer. Some people say, well, if I said I'm not in doubt, I'd be lying about it. They're speaking what their mind is telling them instead of listening to their spirit. That's often where what defeats people. But faith is not of the head, it's of the heart. The Bible says in Mark 11:23, and you know the scripture, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith, shall not doubt in his heart, shall not doubt in his heart, shall not doubt in his heart. Faith is of the heart. The scripture says in Romans 10:10, it says this in the sermon, shall not doubt, Romans 10:10, it says, for with the heart man believeth. With the heart, man believeth. So you can have a heart full of faith and a head full of doubt. The problem is many people never distinguish between their soul and their spirit. Faith is not of the soul or the mind. It's of the spirit or the heart. But hope is an anchor for the mind, for the soul. Because you can have a heart full of faith and a head full of doubt. And how do you know that you've got a heart full of faith and a head full of doubt? It's a lot more discernible than what one might think. Just listen to how people talk. What are you saying? Are you saying what you believe in your heart? Are you saying the doubt that you're thinking in your head? Hope, that word in itself, hope could be in the negative. I'm not encouraging that. Obviously, but hope can be in the negative. You can confidently expect negative things. And the way that you know that you're confidently expecting negative things is just listen to what people say. Well, just as sure as I get a new job, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to find out they're probably not going to treat me right down there at that place either. You know, probably a lot of nepotism going on down at that place. Or, you know, it's cold and flu season. I'm probably going to get sick, you know, because everybody at work is hacking and coughing. And you know, I'm probably, well, if I were to ask you, what do you believe? Well, I believe by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Then why are you saying what you've been thinking? The reason the devil works so hard to get us to confidently expect negative things, he works on our minds because he's got no business in your spirit, got nothing to do with that if you're born again, right? You got a covenant between you and God. But your soul has a foot in both realms. Because we live in this natural realm and we get thoughts from natural things. You ever touched an electric fence? Hot fence? Did you have a thought or two afterwards? It's a natural experience, not a supernatural one, albeit shocking. Right? You did something in the natural and it sent signals to your mind. But at the same time, God can speak to our hearts. We process things through our minds. Isn't that right? And we take actions through our minds. And the enemy knows that, and so he works on our soul to try to get us to expect the wrong things, to begin to say the wrong things, because he knows what the Bible says and what you and I know, that hope, confident expectation is an anchor for our souls. You go back in Scripture and you think about Joseph in his life. Though his circumstances were up and they were down, and they were up and they were down, and they were up and they were down, he was the same. Right? Because he'd received a promise. And his confident expectation was an anchor. The thing about this is, can you be confidently expecting the right things and then let go of those things and vacillate and start thinking the wrong things again? Certainly. We've all done it before. There have been times where I've done that, but in my heart, I knew. I knew in my heart some things. I had faith in my heart. But I had a whole bunch of doubt in my head. And if we're not careful, we'll allow those doubts to come in into our thought life, and we'll begin to meditate on them, and we'll begin to talk about them, and they become an anchor that keeps us from any forward momentum. Oftentimes it happens when time elapses between when we first believe and when we receive that thing which we're believing for. When we see the manifestation of that thing. And in that in-between time is when the enemy works to try to get us to start thinking wrong and start talking wrong, because he knows we'll get anchored to the wrong thing. And just like that kayak, when I was going down the river and that current was pulling against me, I was anchored in a place that I didn't belong, and pretty soon my kayak started to sink and I went to untie him real quick. I got to pull up the anchor and get anchored to the right thing. What's God's word say? The way to walk in the success and the victory that God intends for us is to stay in faith about what God says to us in his word, to meditate in his word, to begin to keep our minds fixed on those things, allow ourselves to be anchored to those things. Our confident expectation is because God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It can't be any other way. And just because things don't look like that I thought that they would, just because I've taken some time and I've gone down this road, and God, you made me a promise though. You said this was going to happen. You said these things were going to happen. And if you said those things, I know I heard from you. Because things don't look like it now, it can't be on your end. I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to get to anchor myself to those promises. I'm going to go back to those things that you said to me. I'm going to believe what you said, and I'm going to stay fixed, immovable, an anchor for my soul. I ran out of time. We better stop there. Okay. I'll just mark that. Maybe one of these days we'll come back to that. Would you be all right with that? If you'll come back, I will. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you tonight. In this season, don't let go. And here's the good news. If you have let go of something, God didn't let go of you. Just pull up that anchor and get it fixed back over into those things that God has promised you. Just anchor yourself in there. In this season of hope, this confident expectation, what do you believe in God for? What are you holding fast to that maybe you haven't seen it yet, but God made you a promise and it belongs to you? And that thing that you believe in your heart, you're going to begin to meditate on that until it becomes the greatest thought in your mind. The deepest, most rooted thought in your mind, that you're fixed immovably on that. You begin to talk different. You begin to think different. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of a good report, you're going to think on those things. You're going to say what God says about you. You're going to believe what God says that you are, what He says that you can do. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray for each and every person here tonight. Whatever they're going through, Lord, whatever the difficulties that they've been facing, Lord, I know just the same as you've spoken things to my heart, plans and purposes, things that you've called me to, things that you've called them to, things that you've spoken to them that maybe they've never shared with anybody, but they've got a call on their life to do things for you greater than what they've ever experienced. Go further than where they've ever been. Maybe they've let those things slip. But tonight, by your Spirit, as you speak to their heart, I believe they're going to make a switch. Anywhere in this room, if that's you right now, you just make that switch on your own right now. Make a decision before God. God, I'm turning this around. I'm looking back to you. I'm putting my trust in you. I'm confidently expecting that what you said will come to pass in my life. I'm picking it back up. I'm hooking up with my heart, the faith that's been rooted and planted in my heart. I'm hooking back up with that, renewing my mind, changing my thinking. Thank you for it, Father. Those of you that are watching online, maybe you're dealing with something in your life and you've reached a point of hopelessness, but I want you to know that God loves you. Jesus loves you, and He's got a better way for you. The Scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wherever you're at right now, you can call out to Jesus. Just say, God, forgive me. Help me. Create in me a clean heart. Change my life. And the moment that you ask Him to come in, He's right there to carry you further. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, our altar care team's coming down now. We just ask ladies, go to the ladies, men, come to the men. If you need prayer for salvation, rededication, baptism of the Holy Spirit, anything that you need somebody to agree with you in prayer for healing in your body, whatever it is you need, when we exit tonight, we want to encourage you to come down here and receive prayer. Is there anything else, gentlemen? Guys, we love you. Believe in God's best for you during this season of hope. Love on your church family. Be a blessing to somebody this week. Come back for Wednesday night hour of the power. God bless you. We'll see you soon.